few years ago, our regular Aintree Grand National correspondent, Sir Jane Clark, of course, curator and founder of the Aintree Grand National Museum, was very excited when she came along to Badminton to point out the fabulous world of Stevenson Brothers and the genuine rocking horses. And we're delighted once again to be able to welcome to the airwaves and to yourself, dear listening, the fabulous
Mark Stevenson from Stevenson Brothers. Yes, good morning.
This is just a wondrous piece without which I don't think any five-star equine event would be complete, really, Mark. I mean, you've got so many wonderful things here. Just talk us through some of the fabulous sort of exhibits we've got here.
Well, okay, so what we're showing here today, we've got a new Bright Bay in oak just behind us, which is very popular. We've had someone commission a horse yesterday looking at that, going, well, if I can send you some photographs on a slightly smaller blaze, the tacked perfect colour, you know, so things like that. We've got Her Majesty's Diamond Jubilee rocking horse here. Now, this is very special. It's based on Mr. Churchill's first horse when he was in the 4th Hussars, so hence the military tack. It's all correct. There's little soldiers in the base there that you can see, lead soldiers of Winston riding that particular horse, and then him in the Boer War, and then as Prime Minister, set under a piece of glass. And there's a jaunty tail angle, and you just touch the bottom, and out pops a box.
Good heavens.
Which I call the bottom drawer.
Nice.
And in the box, which is inlaid with maple, and it's got the Queen's E2R cipher, is a parchment envelope. And in the envelope, I've found 10 photographs of Her Majesty and Mr. Churchill from the 50s.
This is, of course, because you restore rocking horses to the ultimate sort of quality that they used to be.
We do. We have a rocking horse hospital, so 2 full-time doctors working there, and we restore about 200 horses a year. In fact, I've just had one collected from here that was delivered last year. And the wife came back, and once her husband took it home, and she was in tears. She said, look, you've done such a fantastic job. And my mother was there. Now, her mother's in her 90s and remembered the horse. So it's great, you know, to be able to restore these wooden things. That's a beautiful thing about wooden toys. They now, can be fixed.
As I think I revealed a few years ago, I never had a rocking horse as a child, but
yeah.
I had a teddy bear, which is fine. Good. Hebe, did you have a rocking horse?
I had a rocking horse called Neddy, but not as fantastic as these.
Really?
Wish I'd had one of these.
Was it a dapple grey?
It was a dark bay.
Dark bay?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, quite rare then. The wooden horse. And it was from your parents or grandparents, can you remember?
I think it was a godmother.
Right.
Great present from a godmother.
Fantastic. Have you still got it?
Yes.
Good girl.
Yeah.
Well done. That's the thing.
Never let a girl be part of our wooden horse.
No,
critical.
You've got to keep them. Yeah.
Ed, what about yourself?
Yeah, we had a green and white, a very basic edition. I don't know if it would even count in your eyes as a rocking horse, but I remember that the handles used to fall off, which made the whole rocking horse experience very dangerous and very exciting.
Excellent.
I seem to remember. Yeah. But what's caught my eye here is above the Diamond Jubilee rocking horse you were just telling us about, there's a couple of amazing photographs of you from 2012 from the Diamond Jubilee, and also one from the Golden Jubilee in 2002, wasn't it?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. Both photographs are at Windsor, in the Queen's Yard at Windsor, in exactly the same spot, 10 years apart. Mm. So 10 years ago I wrote to Her Majesty and said, look, it's our 5,000th horse coming up, your 50th, and I'm going to make something very special for you. So I got a letter back saying, pop up to Windsor and come and meet with Terry, my stud groom. And we designed that horse, which is a very traditional-looking dapple grey with her racing colours. We were allowed to use the E2R cipher embroidered in gold thread, and I put it on a coach spring, which she was thrilled about because it gives the horse a slightly longer stride.
Ah, right, so okay.
Very good.
Well, I just hope that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are aware of the quality that actually exists and ensure that Prince George will actually sort of benefit from the same kind of quality.
Well, that's very kind of you, and we all hope that too. The blankets have been embroidered, so I'm awaiting the call.
Rightly so. Meanwhile, as we said, Hebe last year, a couple of years, when was the Harry Potter movie?
Came out in 2011.
That's right. And this year, of course, premiere of
Still Life.
Well, what do you think this young actress who's growing through the systems, etc., and in modelling her father's fantastic
photo,
what sort of thing would actually work well with her in terms of rocking horse for the photo shoot?
Photo shoot. Well, what can we put you on? I think actually that Bright Bay behind you would work really well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Amazing.
Colouring
love it.
Wise, goes well with your top.
Are you all set for this, Hebe? The sort of the setup ready? From that? Okay, we'll go from that.
We can have a walk around. Why don't we come?
You
come,
let's have
Hebe.
A wander around.
Choose your horse. Look, we've got an extra large horse here, which that takes two adults.
Ed, that might there be one go. For yourself.
There you go. There's a choice.
Right.
What else have we got here? We've got a chestnut horse here, or two dapple greys, or a zebra.
A zebra.
Zebra. Oh, wow. Got to be the zebra. Okay.
No zorses then for the giant
no
pony.
No zorses. No zonies or zorses, but zebbies. Come on then.
Okay then. Here we go. Various other things will be there. All right. Ed, anything catch your eye?
Well, actually, I like all of these things, but I especially like the proprietor's jacket. They say blues don't go together, but that defies it, doesn't it? What a wonderful outfit.
I'll leave you with the microphone to do a commentary whilst I go this, and come around and start taking some photos from the other side.
Okay, I'm slightly concerned here that Hebe is about to mount the zebra here, which is on the side of the display trailer. I'm sure it's all very, very... safe. I think we'll just try and catch up with her now as she's actually doing this. Very, they are very, very well and delicately done. And how does that feel?
Oh, this is, he's great, yeah.
Do you think we've bonded there?
Yeah, very sweet.
Now, a little, are you going to move slightly? Is this, okay, I'll just get out of the photograph here. See the Southside Broadcasting photo shoots, you know, they just have to be got absolutely right. There we are. I think this is probably our best shot ever.
We got it, did we?
I think that's been done, yes.
Right, get him going, come on.
Oh gosh, this is the moment where...
Yeah.
Here we go. So you could while away a whole evening doing that.
Yeah, television zapper in one hand, yeah. Glass of white in the other.
That's
yeah.
And somebody to come and fill up the glass.
Zebra riding, fantastic. Zebra riding, excellent.
So there we are. I think we're all sort of ticking over there. What a genuine pleasure as ever. Badminton next year?
Badminton indeed. We shall return. Yes.
And the web address?
Web address is stevensonbross.com.
We interrupted a telephone conversation you were having in between times, but again, fantastic stuff. Stevenson Brothers, superlative stuff there. And Hebe, I can see you're obviously taken with that zebra.
I've bonded with him. Yeah. Great.
And we've got a little doggy as well.
Oh, here comes Digby. Yes, this is our secret
Digby.
Weapon. Yes, he's a Westie Yorkie Patterdale Shih Tzu. West York Patchit, we call him for short. Yeah. He will grow up one day. He's only about 6 inches tall and 12 inches long.
I think we might even take a little photograph of him in the team.
Digby, do you want to be in the... Oh, yes, please. Yay!
Digby wants that photo. Absolute perfection has rounded off this day, Ed, because we are joined by the true legend who actually was responsible for introducing me to the whole excitement of the media scene at Burley and Dr. Jim Jordan, of course, a wee while ago. That, of course, is the legend that is Sam Lloyd. How are you, Sam?
Really good. Lovely to see you.
So what have you been doing today on this, your return to the Burley area?
I know. It's fantastic to be back. It's been some years since I attended the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials, and it's a great feeling when you just go through the gates to see Burley House, and it's a wonderful 4-star event. But I left the rest of the team to come up on Wednesday and do the preview day, and I've sauntered up quite casually this morning on day 2. Can't be bad, can it?
It's absolutely critical. Now, in the past, obviously, we've been at Royal Ascot together. We've covered various other areas from that point of view. And now, of course, you've given birth.
I have indeed. I am very proud to say that I now have a nearly 2.5-year-old little boy called Oshan. Good Welsh name there. And obviously things have changed quite dramatically with motherhood, so I kind of juggle running the business and being a mummy, but it means that invariably I don't go to as many events as I used to.
The events so, lost Sam, obviously.
So I'm not Lara Croft in the jungle anymore and doing all those events, but it's really nice actually to be selective, and I guess now, you know, it's lovely to run the company and have a great team that I basically delegate to go to the events, and I pop in now and again to events such as Burley just to show my face, really.
Well, Rupert seems to be coping just about. I mean, in the times we've done with badminton, you know, I can sense that he's lost. He's almost rudderless without you, Sam.
Well, he's still learning, isn't he?
Ed, thoughts and questions from yourself?
Yeah, I mean, when you do your audio, when you're at work on a day like today, where does all of your work end up? Who hears it?
Well, I'm a firm believer. I hate to use the word syndication, which is, as a company, we're not like that. Everything we provide for any station is completely bespoke because every station wants something entirely different. So what we tend to do is notify the guys and girls around the world that we're going to be here at the event, offer them live reports, two ways, and audio. Then invariably they come back to us and say specifically what they want. So for example, Radio New Zealand Sport are obviously following their Kiwis and aren't they doing well at the moment. But likewise, BBC Radio Oxford might want a live report about Izzy Taylor. So it is very much catered for the needs of every individual sports editor or programme controller, not just in the UK, BBC and commercial, but worldwide as well.
And tell me a little bit about your history, because you obviously love it. You're very successful and driven by it in a good way. And you've got your balance of motherhood and everything as well. So how did you arrive where you are as a broadcaster?
I knew straight from the offset when I was in university exactly what I wanted to do. I was very definite that I wanted to be involved in sports and broadcasting, and I was very lucky before I finished my journalism degree that I actually got a job with a sports agency, which allowed me to travel the world. I'm a bit of a petrol head, different kind of horsepower, so I was very privileged to travel the world covering the World Rally Championship in the era of Colin McRae and Richard Burns, sadly two drivers who were so talented and are no longer with us. And I was BBC Radio 5 Live's correspondent, World Service, and then my final year, I was actually the voice of the international programme and scriptwriter. And I've just had an inherent passion for all sports ever since I was very little, being an only child. It was always Dad who took me to every sporting event imaginable, and I just had that passion from him. And it just grew, really. I was very lucky to cover all sports from the US Tennis Open to the NBA All-Star Basketball in Atlanta, from rallying to European rugby, Dubai World Cup. The list is endless. And then 9 years ago, I took my good friend Rupert Bell out for lunch in London, got him drunk and said, let's set up a partnership as an agency. And he went, why not? And it's just gone from strength to strength. Then we cover events all around the world, not just radio. Obviously, the emphasis here at Burley is all about radio, but TV, corporate film, corporate hosting, BNR, every single job is totally different. So every week is different, and I like that.
How do you carry on from that?
That's convincing and excellent, yeah, indeed.
I've got to say, Sam, that in terms of the way that the media has actually changed, I mean, obviously we have our Facebook, we have our Twitter feeds, we have our social media, social networking. We had one of our guest speakers at the Journalist Speak Out on Journalism at the University of Lincoln, David Hall from 442 magazine. Welcome you, good self, hopefully in the near future. Is it still a case of fundamentally you're looking for stories, you're looking for narratives, you're looking at ensuring that is shared and the passion is shared with the listener or the consumer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for an event such as this, it's all about the sport. But what I love about Burley, it's very much the Burley experience per se. Some people come here and they don't even watch a horse in action. They're here to do the shopping, maybe book the date in their diary for a bit of Christmas shopping, or just enjoy the whole ambiance because it's a very, very special atmosphere. It's a lovely event. So to keep in tune with social media, love it or hate it, that's the way everything's going, and it's reporting immediately on stuff. And for here, actually, in addition to the global radio service, we also compile and put together a daily podcast, which then people can access via iTunes. And we make it very much not just about the news element, but also about the features, so that people can listen to it 4 months down the line and they'll still find it a very, very good listen.
So it's like the Southside podcast, though.
Exactly that, which I know that you've been doing for many, many years. But they're all different facets. You just have to keep ahead of the times, really, to ensure that you're reaching the biggest audience that you can.
And finally, in terms of advice for budding sports journalists who are thinking, I want to be the next Sam Lloyd, what would you sort of suggest from that point of view?
It's funny you say that, Alex. A couple of months ago, I was actually asked to be guest speaker of my school. And quite one of the most daunting prospects, give me live television any day, but there you go. And it's a question that is posed to me on numerous occasions. And I say to everybody who approaches me, it's such a competitive market and it's hard out there. And especially the industry's being squeezed, you have to be a realist. But my advice to any young aspiring journalist is, if you have the passion and you show the drive, determination and hard work and willing to do anything, even if it's not the path you necessarily want to go long term, you just have to give it your best shot. But you have to be passionate about it.